Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson.
More than 30 states have chosen to include nuclear power in their energy portfolio. We must begin substantive debate and deliberation of whether there is a place for nuclear energy in Utah.
That's Utah Governor Gary Herbert talking about energy during his State of the State address Wednesday night at the Utah Capitol here in Salt Lake City. His remarks come at a time when a former state lawmaker is trying to get permits to build a nuclear power plant in Emery County along the Green River. It wouldn't be built for at least 20 or 30 years, but it could be a reality in the state. What would be the impact of nuclear power in Utah when it comes to water usage and storing the high-level nuclear waste it would produce? Joining me to provide his perspective is Christopher Thomas, the Executive Director of the Healthy Environment Alliance of Utah, or HEAL Utah. Christopher, it's good to have you today on Politics Up Close.
Jeff, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Christopher, what was your initial reaction to Governor Herbert's pro-nuclear remarks during his State of the State?
Well, Jeff, what I focused on was that the governor said we needed to have a discussion about nuclear power. And he also said that he's serious about having affordable and clean energy for Utah. And let me say right off the bat that HEAL Utah is too. So in looking at starting this discussion about nuclear power, here are my questions. Why would Utah choose nuclear when it is about twice as expensive as other energy projects? Second, would Utahns accept the massive federal handouts and taxpayer-backed loans necessary to build a nuclear power plant in the state? Third, why would we support nuclear in a desert state when nuclear is one of the most water-intensive forms of energy generation? And finally, what do we do with the waste, and will this open Utah's doors to high-level nuclear waste from the rest of the country?
What do you think of Governor Herbert's comments about, since so many other states have nuclear power already, it must be feasible, so we could do it here just as well in Utah?
Sure. Well, what that makes me think about, Jeff, is the waste. And remember that many of those states who currently use nuclear power for a decade tried to send their high-level nuclear waste here to Utah. That was fought back, thankfully. But that proposal, the private fuel storage proposal that Utah's citizens and leaders thankfully fought back, is actually back on the table. So, because of a recent court decision. So I think that at a time when Utah is still a potential target of the rest of the country's high-level nuclear waste, we need to really seriously consider that before we start talking about creating our own.
Do we not have a facility here in Energy Solutions that's capable of safely storing it? Or
absolutely not. Absolutely not. Energy Solutions is only permitted under state law to take Class A low-level nuclear waste. So that is very different from the high-level nuclear waste that would be produced at a nuclear power plant.
I've heard arguments before that high-level nuclear waste or spent fuel rods can be recycled. Is this true?
Well, if you consider 1% recycling, and if you consider the fact that nuclear waste reprocessing is what it's called, it takes exactly 1% of the spent fuel rod and reproduces it into new fuel. But that new fuel is much more expensive than the conventional uranium fuel that nuclear power plants use. And so for that reason, it's totally uneconomic. And the only reason that some countries are able to do it, like France, is because the government is providing major subsidies and handouts to allow that to happen. I don't think that that would fly with Utahns.
And so these nuclear power plants that already exist in the U.S., what are they doing now with their high-level nuclear waste?
Well, they're storing it on site at their nuclear power plants. And remember that Nevada has been targeted for many, many years for high-level nuclear waste disposal at the Yucca Mountain project. And basically, recently President Obama said, you know, that was not a viable project. And those states, many of them in the East Coast, are now suing to make sure that that project goes forward because they want that high-level waste off-site. So as you can see, this shows us that high-level waste has not been solved. No country in the world has solved it. France likes to recycle some of it at much added expense to the taxpayers, but it doesn't remove the waste. They still have to deal with that 99% of the spent fuel rod.
As I mentioned, this particular proposal, this Blue Castle project that a former state lawmaker, Aaron Tilton, is pitching for down in Emory County, I believe the local government officials down there have been pretty supportive of the project, particularly when it comes to the economic development perspective and providing jobs. Is that a fair argument when we talk about building this plant?
What I look at is the fact that we have other options besides nuclear power. I mean, it's not like we can only build nuclear power plants. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, there are huge economic development opportunities in building other types of power, like solar plants, wind farms, and that sort of thing. So I don't think it's an all-or-nothing situation and that nuclear is the only option on the table.
You're listening to Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Christopher Thomas, the executive director of the Healthy Environment Alliance of Utah, or HEAL Utah. We're talking about Governor Herbert's recent remarks about exploring the potential for nuclear power in the state. Let's talk about the federal government's stance when it comes to nuclear power. Christopher, it seems that U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu has been pretty positive in his tone when it comes to the idea of nuclear energy in the United States and even federal government spending money on it. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that that's going to be a hard sell for Utahns. I think many in Utah were, you know, as many people were across the nation, really concerned and upset about the major bank bailouts. And unfortunately, the only way to build new nuclear power plants is through something called a loan guarantee. Mm-hmm. What that means is that taxpayers will be on the hook for those loans, billions of dollars of loans, to build nuclear power plants. So basically, you know, loan guarantees like those promoted by Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu does for nuclear what TARP and the bailouts did for the banks. And we think this is absolutely a wrong-headed approach.
HEAL Utah recently commissioned a study on renewable energy that said Utah could get to 100% renewable electricity like solar, wind, and geothermal by the year 2050, which is a much more optimistic outlook than we have heard in the past. Why do you think there's a disconnect between this study and what government officials in Utah think is feasible when it comes to renewables in the state?
Sure. Well, we took a long view. And we wanted to ask the question, is renewable energy development a very serious long-term strategy for the state of Utah? And what we found is that it is. You could basically take Utah's wind resources and solar potential, and you could use that to meet the state's energy needs, as you said, by the middle of the century. The way we do that is in our plan, we would pair intermittent resources like solar and wind with energy storage. In energy storage, an example of that is something called compressed air energy storage. And it's a way of taking excess energy when it's available, storing it, and then releasing it later when you need it. So by pairing solar, wind, and energy storage in a smart way, that is a very serious, reliable answer to Utah's energy needs over the next century, half century.
You were talking earlier about how nuclear power is so heavily subsidized, making it a very expensive form of energy. Do you think there is the possibility down the road that the technology will be refined and it will become less and less expensive, and perhaps we could even figure out a way to take care of the high-level waste problem as well?
It's possible that nuclear power would become less expensive, but if you look at the history of nuclear power in this country, it's only gotten more and more expensive over the decades. In fact, it's one of the only technologies that we've ever seen that has gotten more expensive to build over time. Typically, when you have something like a solar panel, solar panels have seen massive cost reductions because you make them in factories and you get better at it and you learn from your mistakes and you make them better. That has not been the case with nuclear, but we fully expect that to be the case with solar because the history has demonstrated that. And you know, the other thing I think is interesting is we're talking about nuclear, which even our utility says cannot be built and cannot be providing power to the state until at the very earliest 2023. But we've got wind projects that Utah cities and towns are building right now that will provide power and at a cost less than half of what nuclear power would provide. So we think because we've got good clean energy options like wind power available right now that are affordable for Utahns, that's what we should be pursuing rather than thinking about nuclear power, which will provide expensive electricity in 2023.
And finally, Christopher, let me ask you about Heal Utah's efforts. What do you want the legislature to do or the governor to do to speed up the development of renewable energy in the state, to get it moving at a pace that's more quickly than it is now?
You know, that's an important question. It's something that the Utah Energy Initiative grappled with. And I was a part of that effort. Many different people were. And I was heartened to see that in the draft report, it was stated that Utah needs to aggressively develop renewable energy resources in the state. It was also talked about the fact that energy efficiency is a very low-cost way to meet our growing energy needs. So I was heartened to see that in the draft report. I'm now very concerned, given the governor's recent remarks, that a lot of that good thinking may have been thrown out. The final report has not been put out yet, but we expect to see it in the next couple of weeks. My concern is that a lot of good people spent a lot of time and effort answering this question, and I think that effort should be respected and honored, and I hope that it informs whatever the governor and legislature decide to do on energy.
We've been speaking with Christopher Thomas, Executive Director of Heal Utah, about nuclear energy and Governor Herbert's recent remarks on nuclear power. Christopher, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.